Good morning, everyone. Again, we want to welcome you here this morning. I'm a grateful believer of Jesus Christ, who celebrates recovery over alcohol and drugs and still struggles with overeating, anger, and many other things. And my name is Curtis. Every year, we're blessed here at the Potter's House to have Celebrate Recovery Sunday to share with you what CR is all about. This Sunday is extra special because we happen to have one of the Missouri State reps who will be sharing this morning all the details of what's going on at CRs all over the state and country. We pray that after this morning, you will know how Celebrate Recovery can help you or anyone who is struggling with a hurt, habit, or hang-up. With that being said, please welcome Paul Martin.
Good morning, family. Come on, we can do better than that. Good morning, family. I have the humble privilege of talking to you this morning about Celebrate Recovery. But allow me to introduce myself first. I'm a faithful, dedicated, serving believer of Jesus Christ that has struggled with anger, that has struggled with control, struggled with self-worth. I'm currently working on fear. And my name's Paul. See, some of you get it already. Cool! Perhaps that's not the introduction you would expect to hear from somebody that's in long-term recovery, right? But that's okay. You see, recovery takes many forms. Hello. What is recovery? Real recovery is a lifestyle change. If you look at a dictionary, you might see something like the act or process of recovering from something, especially a sickness, a setback, or a shock. Maybe even the restoration of a former or better condition, or the regaining of something lost. The term recovery tends to conjure up images of drug and alcohol users getting into recovery. You wouldn't be alone in thinking that. We all need recovery in some form or fashion. Truth is, we all carry a hurt of some description. For instance, many of us, myself included for a long time, would have that guttural, pit of the stomach feeling when we would hear a certain name because that person had hurt us. Could be 20, 30, even 40 years ago. Right? We all have a habit of some description. I'm going to step on a few toes right now. How many of us would connect? Hello. How many of us, all right, God, I'm listening. How many of us would connect to the internet before connecting with God? Ouch, Paul, that hurt. Not all habits or addictions are sinful, but are they interfering with our relationship with Christ? Is there something holding you back from your full potential in God's presence? Some of us may struggle with food. Some of us may struggle with television. Some of us may struggle with game consoles. Some of us may even struggle with one of these, myself included. I'm not here to shame anybody. That is absolutely not happening. Nobody is here to be shamed, but often our addictive behaviors are because something is missing in our lives, and we're trying to fill that void on our own power. We lightheartedly, in the recovery world, refer to two types of people: those that need recovery and know it, and those that need recovery and don't know it. Basically, we all have habits, hang-ups of some descriptions. And some of us are bound and we don't even realize. Let's see if this works. Come on. Somebody's going to have to move my thing up there. Come on. It's not, Brian, it's not working down here, brother. There it is. On the screen, you'll see just some of the things that we see at Celebrate Recovery. When you sat down, you probably noticed that there was a card or a piece of paper on your seat. Right now, I want you to stop and think. Is there somebody in your life, it may even be you, that is struggling right now? Right now, I want you to write down the first name of that person and what they're struggling with. I stress the first name only. This is participation, so I'm going to ask you to write that down. Take a moment and pray about that for a moment. Oh, there's my water bottle I just kicked. Once you have written that name down, I want you to fold the card in half, and I want you to hold it up. I've got people ready to pick these cards up. I'm going to ask you, please do not pass these cards down the aisle. At Celebrate Recovery, we provide a safe place. What you write down on this card will not leave this church, will not leave this building. Whilst you're writing that down, I'm going to show you a small video just to highlight. I am not getting clicker ability down here, guys, just so you know.
What? You act like you'd never seen anybody like this before. Well, it's not easy on me, you know, being here like this day after day, bound up. And you're staring at me doesn't make it any easier. Look, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that it doesn't have to be like this. That it could be different. Well, I don't want it to be different. I'm restrained like this because that's what I want to do. It's what I know. I know it's insane. And you probably think that I'm insane too, don't you? Well, maybe you're a little insane too. I mean, haven't you ever been stuck? Unable to let something go? Trapped inside your own pain? Pain from the past? And everyone that hurt you? So why would I want to be free? So I can feel more hurt, more pain? No, thanks. Look, I may be confined. I may be crazy. But I'm safe. I'm protected. Not so vulnerable. It's what I know. Believe me, I've learned the hard way. I used to be free, free to trust. Not anymore. Not after what they did. Sure, the details are different. My wife left. Dad was never around. Mom was too drunk to remember. But the stories are all the same. I need them to help me remember why I'm here. Why I can't let them forget. Why? Because they hurt me. I loved them, and they hurt me. How do you just walk away from that? Huh? Do you understand now? How can I ever trust anyone or anything again? No. I can't untie this. I won't. Not now. I know this place. It's home for me. I got pictures on the wall. I can't leave. Who will remember them for me? No. It's better for me here. You go on. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. It's better for me here. It's where I belong. It's what I know.
That video symbolizes the fact that we often have chains binding us. Some of us may not even realize that we have those chains binding us. Because often we're so fearful to share what is really going on in our lives. Can we go to the next slide? Imagine, if you will, right now is a good time to imagine this. You're in a swimming pool, you're holding down that beach ball. Don't look right above it, don't have your face right above it. But imagine holding that beach ball down. On the surface, doesn't look like you got a beach ball. Looks like everything's okay, looks like everybody's okay and smooth and everything else. Whilst you're holding it down, because we're used to holding things down. As a church body, we're called to love one another, to stimulate one another to love. Hebrews 10:25, as we're still on the subject of Hebrews this year. Something I firmly believe, that we are to be a hospital for the sinners, not a museum for saints. Ouch, again, right? I certainly didn't have it all together when I started attending church. I still don't have it together now, just for the record. The church should be a safe place. Should be a safe place that I can go up and say, look, I'm struggling. I need you to pray for me. I need you to hold me lovingly accountable. Somewhere where I can go and say, I'm really, really needing your help. Somewhere where I'm not going to be condemned. Somewhere I'm not going to be judged. And most importantly, somewhere where I'm not going to be gossiped about. Where I'm not going to be shamed. We here have a Celebrate Recovery here at this church, which is amazing. The purpose of Celebrate Recovery is to celebrate God's healing power in our lives through the eight principles found in the Beatitudes and the Christ-centered 12 steps. That's the next slide, by the way, guys. What is Celebrate Recovery? Some of you know already, because some of you are very much invested in Celebrate Recovery. That's the next slide, guys. Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered, faith-based program. It instills hope into the hopeless. Some of you have may seen the hashtag hope dealer. And hopefully my strong Kentucky accent said that well. Hope dealer. Celebrate Recovery exists to allow healing. We know we can't push water back up under a bridge, right? Meaning we can't change the past. But we can heal from it. Over the years, we've witnessed... No, I'm going to say that differently. Over the years, we've had front row seats to God changing lives through this program. And watching the Holy Spirit move people towards a Christ-like maturity. Celebrate Recovery can, and should be, in my opinion, the front door to a church, not the back door like it has been in many years past. It's time to break stigmas. It's time to remove those judgments and love one another. Sometimes that means loving the unlovable, loving those that can't even love themselves. I know for a fact that I didn't love me when I started this program. The history of Celebrate Recovery, and that's the next slide, guys, was founded because John Baker couldn't talk alcoholism in church, and he couldn't talk church in AA. In 91, he envisaged a program that would bridge this divide, and he wrote a 13-page single-space letter. Can you imagine reading that? And his pastor said, "That's great, John, go do it." So he did. And in 27 years, 6 million lives have been changed by Celebrate Recovery. Give you a little bit of context on that. The population of Missouri is 6.1 million. That is the entire population of Missouri that has been affected by Celebrate Recovery. We're in 35,000 churches. We're established in 40% of prison systems at state and federal levels. I had the amazing privilege last year of helping get Celebrate Recovery into Greene County Jail in Springfield. The first two sets of guys we had come through, 16 of them turned their lives over to Christ right there. Amen. Celebrate Recovery is also represented, let me state that again. Celebrate Recovery is established in 36 countries. It's actually represented in about 50. It is also translated into 16 languages. So here's a question. This is where more participation comes in. Out of that 6 million lives, I want a show of hands, more than just the three that Jay talks about, all right? I want a show of hands. How many of that 6 million lives do you think 75% or more is drugs and alcohol? Hands up. Come on. It's a few of you. How many of you think it's fit between 50 and 75? It's a few of you. How many of you think it's 25 to 50? Some of you have been listening to me, obviously. You guys get a gold star. 1 in 3 come because of alcohol and drugs, or chemical dependency, as we call it. These 12 steps that we talk about, and I've got a picture of them down here if anybody wants them later, they're achievable goals. No one's going to tell you they're easy. There is not one person that has gone through a 12-step program that's going to tell you it's easy. The eight principles are attitude adjusters. And boy, the Lord knows I needed my attitude adjusting. Think of this program as like a parachute. You can pull the ripcord, change the trajectory of your life, or not. It's as blunt as that. There is numerous components in Celebrate Recovery. That's the next slide, guys. Component slide. Celebrate Recovery is the main umbrella, which has been around the longest and the most established. Celebrate Recovery International, like I said, we're in multiple countries now. We have something called The Landing, which essentially is Celebrate Recovery for youth and teens. It is the same lesson material. It is targeted and age appropriate. We have Celebration Place, which again is the same material, again, written age appropriately. Celebration Place is also what we've called pre-recovery. We want these children to grow out of the cycle of dysfunction that we have been in. Celebrate Recovery Inside is our jail and prison ministries, as you heard earlier. This is growing significantly. CPR, no, not new medical staff, stand down. Celebrating pastors in recovery. Pastors need help too. Make sure you love on your pastor. Jay does an amazing job here, okay? The job pastor is actually listed in the top 10 of the most stressful jobs in America. So make sure you love on your pastor. An area that is close to my heart, Celebrate Recovery Mental Health Initiative. This is where we're going to start really breaking some stigmas down. Breaking the stigma that surrounds mental health issues in the church. Providing people a safe and supportive environment for them to talk openly about their struggles with mental health. Suicide remains the second biggest taker of lives in 15 to 22-year-olds. Celebrate Recovery Welcome Home is a group for veterans, and you don't have to be combat veterans. You don't have to necessarily be suffering PTS, post-traumatic stress, for those that don't know. This group is simply for veterans to be able to relate to veterans. Still to this day, we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide. That's essentially three rows of these seats. Celebrate Recovery has a motorcycle ministry called Broken Chains JC. Anybody want to take a guess what JC stands for? Jesus Christ, thank you. No, this is not a riding club. This is simply bikers doing ministry. Celebrate Recovery Native Nations is where we're taking Celebrate Recovery onto the reservations, bringing recovery to the Native Nations. Celebrate Recovery is also expanding into many, many cultural communities. So why Celebrate Recovery? That's the next slide, guys. Celebrate Recovery is based on the actual words in Christ. It is a spiritual growth discipleship program. Celebrate Recovery is forward-looking. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. And there is a difference between mourning and moaning. Again, I've got to make sure you've got to state that with my strong Kentucky accent, right? All right? Moaning and mourning. Mourning is grief. Grief allows us to pass from one season in our lives to another easily. Not necessarily easily, but at least pass through it. If we squash that grief, it's like shaking up a soda bottle. It's coming out eventually and usually badly. When we swallow our anger, our stomach is keeping score. 3, Celebrate Recovery emphasizes a personal responsibility. Owning our part. Keeping our part of the street, our side of the street clean. Case in point, this week, I had to admit to my wife that I reacted in a poor way. Sometimes we don't like to do it, but we do. We keep our side of the street clean. CR calls for a spiritual commitment to Christ. He is our one and only true higher power. CR emphasizes growth in the context of small groups. There are over 50 one another's in the Bible. Think about that, that's almost one a book. Love one another. Pray for one another. Care for one another. We simply don't get well on our own. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other, pray for one another so that you may be healed. Think about that just for a second. Celebrate Recovery is a leadership factory. When we experience true grace through the healing of Christ, we can pass that on. We can become leaders in our community. We can become leaders in our church. And you know, sometimes, a lot of the time, we don't necessarily have individuals at this church coming to this Celebrate Recovery. That's okay. Lastly, Celebrate Recovery takes the fall of man seriously. None of us are perfect. We're all broken. However, we are all perfectible in Christ Jesus. Back on the heart, back on the screen, you'll see the CR heart, the heart of Celebrate Recovery. I'm going to ask you to just ask yourselves these questions right now. Am I struggling to forgive? Do I have some unresolved grief? Am I still suffering from fears and anxiety? Are others coming before me at my own emotional cost? It's also worth noting here that John Baker, after he got this program started, realized that the alcohol was a symptom of an anxiety issue. A large proportion of chemical-dependent users have a deeper issue that they're trying to self-deal with. Down here, you'll notice some flyers on the front. Please feel free later to come and take a look at some of these flyers. Next slide, guys. We've all undoubtedly heard the phrase, time heals all wounds. This just is not true. As I said earlier, we so often speak with individuals that are dealing with hurts, with pains that are 30, maybe even 40 years ago. Truth is that time often makes things worse. Wounds that are left untended tend to fester. They tend to spread to our entire soul. So often, time merely extends the pain if that problem isn't dealt with. Next slide, guys. We all have either had or still have pain. And many of us may even still be carrying around that pain, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be mental. And society has been telling us for years that pain has no purpose. Pain is trash. Pain is weakness. Those in pain should be discarded or ignored. In Celebrate Recovery, we love acrostics, as you can see on the screen. The one for pain for us is power always in new learning. During our pain and adversity, we tend to learn the most because we really don't want to go through pain anymore, right? In these modern days where we recycle pretty much everything, why not let God take that pain and recycle it into something positive? We need to relate to others. I know firsthand this program works if you work it. This program is not just a behavior modification program. We've all been told how to act, what to say, what to do, where to be. This program allows us to be us. We can remove the face. We can take the mask off. We can be real. It's kind of funny that we have this on here. Funny, ironic. No, it's divine. That each one of us does have a story to tell. Celebrate Recovery will help you build or write out your story, your testimony. There is so much power in the human testimony. We can relate to everybody's story. Why? Ecclesiastes 4:9 tells us two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either one of them fails, the other is there is to lift him up, his companion. But woe to the one who falls, and there's not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lay down together, they keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Right now, we have to come together. I'm going to take a moment and talk about three epidemics that is in this country right now. Three cancers that are invading our communities. First, some of you may have seen on the news, some of you may know firsthand, that opioids are spreading across this country and honestly spreading across the globe at a rampant rate. I want you to just imagine something, just for a moment. Imagine that this section, and the front two rows of this section were full of people right now. I want you to just imagine that for a moment. Because that's how many people a day we lose to opioids in this country. 140 deaths a day to opioids. In the state of Missouri in 2017, we had over 2 deaths a day to opioids. And we had 2 births a day with fetal opioid syndrome. What is that? It's a fancy way of saying that they're already addicted at birth. When I first heard that, I cried. Last year also, and these are statistics from the Missouri Health and Human Services Department. Last year, in the state of Missouri, there was 89,000 prescriptions for every 100,000 people. So that's 9 prescriptions per 10 people. Scary thought here. If our brothers and sisters get addicted to prescription medications, they are 40 times more likely to become addicted to heroin. Fact. If we lost 140 a day to the common cold or a flu, there'd be a lot more talk about it, sadly. We can go after these people, but it would be totally unreasonable to go after 140 people a day. But we can go after one more. Just like the shepherd, go after one more. Reach out. Secondly, the second epidemic, according to a JAMA psychiatry report published early last year, shows that 12.7% of those living in the U.S. are living with some alcohol-related disorder. That is 1 in 8. That's essentially 1 seat in every 8 on these rows. These numbers have increased by 50% over the previous decade, showing this problem is still rising. Just under a third of people indulge themselves in high-risk binge drinking. The rise in binge drinking was particularly noticeable in the following groups. Women, the elderly, and Hispanics. The women group were up by 57.9%. So gents, I'm going to talk to you directly for a moment. Value our ladies. Please value our ladies. Treat them like they're priceless. Which is a great segue into our third epidemic. This is the elephant in the room when it comes to epidemics across this country. People don't even realize that this epidemic is right there. Human exploitation or trafficking. People don't realize that it's happening in our own backyard. Atlanta and Kansas City are significant human trafficking hubs. Based on a report in 2016, and I know these numbers are underreported, I will tell you right now. This is going to make a few people squirm. 67% of professing Christian men struggle with pornography. But 45% of professing Christian women also struggle with pornography, thus fueling the demand for trafficked individuals in both prostitution and pornography. Many people are predicting that the trafficking industry as a whole, and trafficking doesn't necessarily go into prostitution or pornography, trafficking is bigger, but many are predicting that the trafficking industry is or will be greater than the drug industry. Marriage rates are declining. Why? Because of cheap sex. That's a term you wouldn't necessarily hear on a Sunday morning. That's an economic term, by the way. Because it suggests the little time, the little emotion that one has to portray, thus devaluing marriage as a whole. With pornography on demand, sex has become a commodity. Available at any time. This has left people with so little motivation for marriage. Again, I'll get back to our subject of one another. We need to start valuing one another, loving one another, holding one another lovingly accountable. praying for one another. I am so proud and so thankful that we are a missions church here. But I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a mission field right outside our doors. I had the privilege, and I'm going to call it a privilege, of walking down the road from downtown up to here the other day. I was shocked, not at the presence, but at the amount of alcohol-related paraphernalia that is in the ditch on the side of that road. That makes it real, people. We're all carrying that hurt, that habit, that hang-up of some description. So let us embrace a program that allows us to be without fear, allows us to be without shame, and most importantly, without judgment or without the thought of gossip. What is shared in the group stays in the group, with the only exception of those that are hurting themselves or others. CR can assist in anything that people want to work on. At CR, one can share without fear of judgment or condemnation. We can be encouraged. This is where it strikes home to me. We can be encouraged of knowing we are not alone. Others are going through the similar challenges. People can work on one thing at a time, one day at a time, even sometimes one moment at a time. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. One can make a difference. Next slide, guys. Change can be a fearful thought. CR can help you overcome that fear. Even if you're not ready to work on yourselves, consider serving. We're always looking for volunteers. There is so many areas to serve. Also, I want to take this opportunity right now to thank each and every small group that provides food for us here at Celebrate Recovery. I want to just give them a round of applause right now. Let's talk about those cards you filled up. Come on up, guys. Let's get real for a moment. The man leading right here, I want you to give this man a round of applause. His name is Mike. He's going to be joining us on the state rep team by the end of this year. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I call out your category, I'd like you to just stand right up front for me, if you would. Okay. Mike tells me that there's 81 unspoken. Let me just touch on that just for a second. We can be fearful, but unless we verbalize what is going on in our lives, we can't heal it. Jeremiah tells us that we can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. So guys, I'm going to encourage you. If there is something in your life that you're struggling with, that you're hurting with, okay, reach out. Talk to somebody. So our chemical dependency. Mike, would you step out over here? We have 18 struggling with chemical dependency. Fear. We have 11 struggling with fear. The internet. Who's got internet? We have 10 struggling with the internet. anxiety. I know this is an area close to my own heart. And we have seven right here. Codependency. Codependency, roughly described, is putting others before you at your own emotional cost. And we've got six. Relationship issues. We have six. Anger. This is an area, again, that is so close to my own heart because I've struggled with this area. We have six struggling with anger. Grief. We have five. And pornography, we have three. Scoot in, guys, so you can... I did. You're right. This is an area that's... Step forward, Ashley, sorry. Scoot in, guys. Scoot in closer. Mental health is 11. Each one of us struggles, ladies and gents. So I just encourage you, I promise you, that this program works if you work it. Because you're, and work this program because you are worth it. You do matter. You are important to God, to all of us. So this makes it real. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we've had this morning. Lord, I pray that eyes have been opened. I pray that hearts have been opened. And I pray that the hardest thing to open has been opened, and that's a closed mind. I pray that you have opened all minds today. Lord, we surrender this message to you. This is yours. This is absolutely yours. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We lay our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups at the base of the cross. Lord, give us the tools so we don't have to pick those habits, hurts, and hang-ups all back up again. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to share. Lord, this is your message. This is your kingdom. Lord, help us be all we can be in you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, thank you.